بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Very nice to see all of you. Welcome, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban, for tonight's class on the fiqh of the salah and the explanation from Masjid al-Nabawi al-Sharif, inshaAllah ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, this is what we reached is the commentary of the ulama on the tashahud in the salah of Ibrahimiyya. And something very important here to note is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us through the Prophet to read the tashahud in every salah and the salat al-Ibrahimiyya. So this shows us how important it is to reflect upon the meaning of the tashahud and to know what it means and to contemplate it while we read the salah, because this is a great dhikr and a great dua. And in order for us to have khushu' and humbleness to Allah, we must know the meaning and the explanation of our ulama for these two virtuous dhikrs, the tashahud and the salat al-Ibrahimiyya. So inshallah tonight we will discuss with the commentary of some of the ulama on these two great acts, or these two great adhkar. Just as a review from last time, we mentioned the hadith regarding the tashahud. It was narrated by a Sahabi whose name is Ka'ab ibn Ujra. Ka'ab ibn Ujra was a person from the place of Quba, where the Masjid of Quba was. And he learned the tashahud from the Prophet ﷺ. And he returned to his people in Quba and he said, "Shall I not give you a gift?" They said, "Yes, please give us the gift." What was the gift he gave them? Anybody remember from last time? Ka'ab ibn Ujra, when he returned to the people of Quba, he said, "I want to give you a gift." They said, "Sure." The gift he said he had was some knowledge he learned from the Prophet. He said, "Let me tell you something I heard from the Prophet." And then he went on to explain the tashahud, how to give salam and salah to Allah and the Prophet. So here the Shaykh, he gives a comment about the saying that it shows us the virtue of knowledge, and that the Sahaba sometimes they would alternate in seeking knowledge. If one of them had the opportunity to learn knowledge while others were busy, he would learn it from the Prophet, and when he returned to his people, he would teach them what he had learned. And vice versa, when they went and they learned, they would come back and teach one another. They would support one another, help one another to learn the ilm from the Prophet. So here in this hadith, the Prophet he taught the Sahaba, "At-tahiyyatu lillah." At-tahiyyatu lillah. The hadith, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم علمه التشهد وأمره أن يعلم الناس. That the Prophet he taught the Sahabi, the narrator here, which is Ibn Mas'ud, the tashahud, and he told him to spread it or teach the people. Even in some ahadith, it's narrated that the Prophet will teach us the tashahud like a verse or a surah from the Quran. He would teach them the tashahud as if it was a verse from the Quran or a surah from the Quran. So here, the tashahud begins at tahiyyatu lillah. What is a tahiyyat? Does anybody know how to translate it in English? A tahiyyat is translated as salutations. A tahiyyatu lillah. Salutations, and what it implies is all noble and virtuous praises are for Allah. And here the ulama, they say that this is restricted for only Allah, not for anybody else. At-tahiyyatu lillah. It's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah is the one deserving of all noble salutations. He's the one who created us. He's the one who provides rizq for us. He is the one who is the Rabbil Alameen. Just like we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, and the reason we acknowledge the rububiyyah, that Allah is the one who supports His creation, Rabbil Alameen, the Lord of the worlds, and the worlds include human beings, the world of the jinn, the world of the angels, the world of animals, the world of plants, and us being one of those worlds that Allah is the Rabb, the sustainer of, therefore we give hamd to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise here in the Tashahhud, At-Tahiyyatu Lillah, we acknowledge Allah's deservingness of the Tahiyyat that belongs to Allah. Was-Salawat. And the Salawat belongs to Allah. And here in the Quran, they say Salawat is the plural of what? As-Salat. As-Salat is for Allah. And As-Salat here in its linguistic meaning is Dua. That all Dua is for Allah. When Allah He makes salah, it is He sends His rahmah down. Allah and His angels send salah on the Prophet ﷺ, that's His rahmah. But when we make salah to Allah, it is dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah, so the salah is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He gives His, we give Him our praise, our, we make dua to Him. When Allah makes salah upon us, wa salawat wa tayyibat, and if Allah gives salah on the Prophet ﷺ or on us, it is His rahmah and His maghfirah. When Allah, how does Allah give salah upon us? You might hear this sometimes. Oh Allah, give your salah on the Prophet ﷺ. How can Allah give salah to the Prophet ﷺ? By sending His mercy. It doesn't mean that Allah makes prayer or dua to the Prophet ﷺ, right? It, of course not. It means that He sends down His mercy, His maghfirah, His rahmah. As-salamu والطيبات طيبات السلام والتحيات لله. Let's all follow the tahiyyat together so we make sure we understand it. So when we pray, we can really understand what we're saying. That's the tahiyyat, the salutations لله are only for Allah. والصلوات and all the du'as. والطيبات. What is طيبات? طيبات, طيب means good and pure things. But طيبات means all acts of worship and speech, and beautiful speech. So the tayyibat is the sajda, the rukua, the salah, the fasting. These all are tayyibat. These are come under the heading of tayyibat. All acts of physical worship and even things that we say. Tayyibat. As-salamu alayka, ayyuhan nabi. As-salamu alayka. As-salam here, the word as-salam, I think everybody knows what it means. What is As-Salam? We say peace. It means safety from all harms. Which is, they translate it as peace. Safety from all harms. And As-Salam for the Prophet ﷺ means may he be kept safe from all harms in his physical body during life and even after death. And we say salam to one another. We greet one another with As-Salam. As-salamu alayka. What is interesting here, we begin with salam for the Prophet ﷺ, not upon ourselves. As-salamu alayka. And this kaf here is called what? Ka'al khitab. As if you're speaking to somebody. If I say as-salamu alayka, ya Ibrahim. Not the Prophet, but Brother Ibrahim here. That means I'm giving salam to you because you're present and you hear me. But if Ibrahim is out on Central Ave, and I say, As-salamu alayka Ibrahim, does that make sense? It wouldn't normally make sense. Because when you use the kaf, that means the person is present and he hears you. If somebody's present but he's far away at the end of the room, and he has no way he can hear me, and I say, As-salamu alayka Shahjad, and he cannot hear me, that would also not make sense linguistically. Because kaf here, as if you're speaking to a person. So the question arises, and some people, they couldn't understand this. In terms of their aqal, they said, why do we say, As-salamu alayka, ayyuhan nabi, peace be upon you, O Messenger? Why are we saying this? Shouldn't we say, As-salamu ala nabi? Because the Prophet ﷺ is not here. So some people, they couldn't understand this. But actually, the ulama, they say two things basically on this issue. Number one is ta'abud. It's an act of worship. The Prophet ﷺ, when he taught the Sahaba, he could have said, say As-salamu ala nabi, because some of them would pray far away, some of them would pray far away where the Prophet ﷺ couldn't hear them, but he said As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. So number one, it's an act of worship. An act of worship, they know, We cannot always understand the reason or wisdom behind it. We just submit to it and accept it. That's number one. Number two, they say there's a little hidden wisdom why we say we address the Prophet ﷺ, even now 14 centuries later in a faraway land, we still say As-salamu alayka, ayyuhan nabi. What is that wisdom? How do you feel when you speak to somebody directly versus you speak to them in a third person? Don't you feel a direct connection or as if you're having a personal connection to that person, right? In the same way, when we make the salah, as-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, as if we're renewing our iman, and that the Prophet is alive in our iman and in our hearts, he's with us, his sunnah is teaching, and he, as if he is alive in our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in our faith in him. So we, as if we are addressing him because he is so close to us with our, in our feelings, or just our love, our following of him, as if he's right in front of us. See if our iman in the Prophet is so strong as our iman in Allah is, even though we don't see him, we feel that we learn, our iman in him is so strong in our hearts as if we are directly addressing him. This is how Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah explains As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, O Prophet. See, the Prophet when he taught us this, it's very interesting. He didn't tell the Sahaba, say As-salamu alayya, say salam upon me. He said As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, even though the Prophet was standing right in front of the Sahaba. But what did he tell them? Say As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, peace be upon you, O Prophet. And here the ulama, they say a very interesting point about this. That the Prophet, he was separating himself from the sifa or the quality of being the Nabi and being the teacher of the Ummah, being the sifa of Nubuwwah and Risala. He didn't say, see, salam on me as a person, as a physical body, as a person, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, born in Arabia. Say, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, the one who Allah addressed with the Risala, with the Wahi from Jibreel alayhi salam. Give salam to the Nabi, the Prophet of Allah. Don't give salam to me as a human being. He's separating his personal self from the maqam of Risala, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So give salam to the Nabi. He refers to himself as An-Nabi. He, as if it's in a third person. Because the personality of Risala is different than his physical being. And this is, we find this in other places where the Prophet ﷺ, when he spoke about the hudud, cutting the hand for the thief, and he said, Wallahi, if Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, stole, I would cut her hand. He didn't say, if Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet, stole. He said, the daughter of Muhammad. Why? Because Fatima, she had no virtue. She has no special virtue because of the nubuwwah of the Prophet. She's a human being. And he's saying, Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad. Don't worry about, because I'm a prophet doesn't affect the hudud of Allah. The hudud of Allah are the hudud of Allah. She's the daughter of Muhammad. Her hand would be cut if she had stolen. So this is showing us that there's a distinction in As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi from the personality of the Prophet and his maqam of risala. Ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And the mercy of Allah is barakah. And here the salam, the ulama, they say, when you give salam to a person, you're promising him that you won't harm him. If I walk into a room, it's like an oath, a contract. If I enter the room and I say, As-salamu alaykum, that means I'm telling the group, I'm not here to harm you. I have no evil intentions. And in fact, if somebody were to walk in, and he stays quiet, he doesn't say, As-salamu alaykum, then there might be some doubt, maybe he has harbored some ill feeling. So it's actually like an oath or a contract. Some of the women say that if you give salam to a person, then you cannot harm that person. It's like it becomes binding upon you. And this is the greeting of Islam, the greeting of the believers. It's the greeting of the angels and the people in Jannah. They said, greet one another with a salam. It is a shi'ar, it is a symbol of Islam. When we greet one another with a salam, it symbolizes the greeting of Islam. No other religion has the salamu alaykum. Here, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Prophet ﷺ taught us the great virtue of adding the greeting, adding to it, pray dua for mercy and blessings. When a man walked into the room, he said, "Assalamu alaikum," and he sat down in the majlis. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Ashara," 10. Then another man, Sahabi, walked in, he sat down in the Prophet ﷺ, and said, "Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah." The Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah." He did in the first time too, I forgot to mention. Then he said 20. A third man walked in, "Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh." The Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh." He turned to his Sahaba, he said, 30. The Sahaba, they said, what is 10, 20, 30? The Prophet ﷺ, he said, 10. He said one good word, "Assalamu alaikum," and Allah multiplies every good deed 10 times. So he got 10. The second man, he said, "Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah." He said two good things. So Allah multiplied it by 10, so it became 20. The third man, he said, "Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh." Three good things multiplied by 10. Everybody did a math here, right? 30. So we see, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, that the tasleem wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, this is the most virtuous way of greeting one another. Assalamu alaikum, assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, assalamu alayna. Then we begin with saying salam upon ourselves, wa ala ibadillahi salihin, and this shows you the virtue of the Prophet ﷺ. He taught us to pray for him first, and then for ourselves, and then for the rest of the believers. The Prophet ﷺ has more right upon us than our own selves. Wa ibadillahi as-salihin. And so this shows you that we have a connection with the Prophet ﷺ and ourselves and the other believers. We're making dua for all three together in this dua. As-salamu alaykum, ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, as-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi as-salihin. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Now, so here the last part of this, the dua, the shahadatain. And here the ulama, they discuss that why did the Prophet teach us to say Muhammad, أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. I witness that Muhammad is a slave of Allah and His Messenger. Abduhu wa Rasuluhu, they say these are the two extremes or the two boundaries of the Prophet ﷺ. He's the slave of Allah. He's not an angel. He's not a god. He's a slave of Allah. He's not higher than that. He's not, you know, the Abd is the highest maqam of the Prophet ﷺ, but he's the Rasul of Allah. He's not a human being that has no virtue. He's a messenger of Allah. So these are the boundaries. He's not less than a prophet. He's not a false somebody calling without wahi. And he's also not an angel, which the Yahud, they took the two extremes, the Yahud and the Nasara. The Nasara raised Isa to what? To be a god, a son of Allah. And the Yahud went to the other extreme. They said Isa is a son of illegitimate heritage. So this is the balance in between the two. Okay, we'll just have perhaps one more hadith, inshallah, related to this. And it's related to something very important regarding how we deal with the Prophet ﷺ in terms of our adab and in terms of following. Because the issue comes up here, which has more priority? Having adab with the Prophet ﷺ or following him? Because some people, when they say the shahada, they say, "Ashhadu anna Sayyidina Muhammad, abduhu wa rasuluhu." And they say, Sayyidina, the Prophet says, he's the most virtuous, so he is our Sayyid. So shouldn't we say, in the prayer, "Ashhadu anna Muhammad, Ashhadu anna Sayyidina Muhammad, abduhu wa rasuluhu." This is adab, right? They say we should have adab, we should have manners with the Prophet says. Is this correct, that in the prayer we should say this? Why not? Yes. Two reasons why. Number one is we have to follow the way the Prophet ﷺ, he taught us. He taught us, say, "Shalwanda Muhammadan Abdul Rasul." So we have to follow him. Yes, he is our Sayyid. He is the best. Sayyidina, he's our Sayyid, he's the Sayyid of all creation, the best of all creation, no doubt about that. But following him comes before, following the way he taught us comes as more priority than showing adab. Showing adab with the Prophet. Again, this shows that obedience to him is the true way to show honor of the Prophet is by following him. The way to honor Rasulullah is not by adding a new word that shows that we're honoring him, but rather following him is the best way to show our true devotion and love for Rasulullah. That's number one. Number two, some ulama gave a reasoning behind it. And they said, when you're praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are you praising in your salah? Praising Allah. You're saying alhamdulillah to Allah, tasbih, praising and honoring the nobility of Allah. So is it befitting in our prayer when we're praising Allah to praise Prophet Muhammad at the same time? It would be more befitting to do that outside of the prayer, because this is a time when we're praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so the prayer has been set aside completely for praising Allah and not for praising the Prophet. Even though, again, he's deserving of every praise and to be called the Sayyidina. So here the hadith is narrated by Fudala ibn Ubayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he said he heard the Prophet heard a man making dua and making salah. Or he was making a dua in his salah, excuse me. There was a man, the Prophet was present, and the man was praying, and he heard him in his prayer, he started making a dua during the prayer. So then the Prophet, he said to that person, or he said, this person has hastened. This person has become impatient. When one of you make dua, let him praise Allah and send peace upon the Prophet in prayers, then ask for whatever he desires. So the person, he was in his prayer, he was perhaps sitting in the prayer, and he started making dua, oh Allah, give me this, oh Allah, give me that. The Prophet heard him, and he said, Ista'ajala hadha. This one was too hasty. When you want to ask Allah for something, praise Allah first, then send prayers upon the Prophet and then ask from Allah whatever you want. And here the ulama, they explain this hadith. And they say that, first of all, Ibn Hajar placed this hadith in the chapter on the Salat of Ibrahimiyyah. Why did he place this hadith here? Because it's showing that the Prophet ﷺ, he taught us that when we want to make dua, like we do at the end of prayer, we should send prayer and peace upon Prophet Muhammad ﷺ first. The tahiyyat, praising Allah, then the Salat of Ibrahimiyyah, sending peace upon the Prophet ﷺ and Ibrahim, and then make any dua that you want. But don't hasten, don't skip those two and just start making dua as soon as you sit down. Say it, begin with the praise of Allah and the peace on the Prophet. And this applies in the prayer as the man was, and it also applies outside of the prayer. These are the manners of asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, when we ask from Allah, if we send prayer praising Allah and peace on the Prophet, it's as if we're sending our du'as up in a box that is perfumed and has flowers around it. Right? If somebody gives you a gift and he puts such a beautiful wrapping or flowers and perfume, are you more likely to accept it? Or if it's just an ugly, regular box, I won't say ugly, but just a plain cardboard box, when you perfume it and make it nice, then it's more likely to be accepted. So, in our salah, we are calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we send that dua up, surrounding it first by praising Allah, knocking on the door, oh Allah, you are the Ghafoor, you are the Rahim, sending peace on the Prophet, then it's more likely Allah will accept this dua from us. In fact, some ulama, they say that the salah and the Prophet, sending salah on the Prophet is like two wings that carry the dua up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we begin and end by sending prayer on the Prophet, they're like two wings that bring the dua up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is this? Anybody? We mentioned already it's to make our dua surrounded by something beautiful, but there's also another reason. When we praise Allah, is this an act of worship? When we send prayer on the Prophet, is this an act of worship? It's a very big act of worship. Actually, many people don't know this. When whoever sends a prayer on the Prophet, Allah sends 10 prayers on him. So imagine, we're doing these qurbat. Qurbat are things that bring us close to Allah. So when we do these things that are bringing us close to Allah, by getting closer to Allah, is Allah going to be more likely to answer dua? Of course. Rather than doing all kinds of sin, or perhaps being in a state of ghafla, forgetfulness of Allah, and then we start calling on Allah. We're not as close to Allah. But when we do these acts of worship, even like the sajda, or we praise Allah and send peace on the Prophet, we're getting close to Allah, we're knocking on the door, then when we ask, it's very more likely that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer the dua. Now the last point here, inshallah, and it's a very important point. The Prophet, when we said Sayyidina, right? We said that there's a conflict between adab. Sometimes there might be a conflict between manners and following of the Prophet. And always we give more precedence to the following of the Prophet. And here, the scholars, they tell us that that in the end, he says, ask Allah for whatever you want. After you've done this, and you've said the salah and the Prophet, make any dua that you want. But here, does it mean you can ask for haram? Can you ask for things that Allah has prohibited? When the Prophet says, ask for what you want, we don't just read this part and ignore the other hadith. The other hadith, the Prophet said, none of you believes until his desires are in accordance to what I have come with. The hadith in the Arba'in of Imam Nawawi. None of you truly believe until his desires, his wants, his love and hate is for the sake of Allah. It's completely subservient to Allah. So when we take the two together, yes, you could ask for whatever you want. However, other hadiths tell us that we do not have true iman until we desire only what Allah has legislated for us, and we dislike what Allah has prohibited for us. So, this is when he says, whatever you like, and then this is what is meant by that. Like, whatever you like from the permissible things within the Sharia. And one other point here the scholars mentioned, Brother Salah, one other thing the scholars mentioned, is that why this hadith that the Prophet he told that person who was asking dua in his prayer, praise Allah and send peace on the Prophet, did he tell him go back and repeat your prayer? He didn't. He never told that person. He said istajala, he was hasty, but he didn't say go back and do your prayer over again. And so from here, many ulama say that sending peace upon the Prophet Muhammad and on Ibrahim is a sunnah. Because if it was obligatory, he would have made that person go back, say his prayer again, do the ta'iyyat, and do the salat, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, so on to the end, and then make the dua, he would have told him your prayers are valid. But he didn't tell him that. So here the ulama, they say that the salat of Ibrahim, many of the ulama, they say it's a sunnah. Not obligatory. There is some ulama that say it's obligatory. And those are the followers or the madhab of Imam Shafi'i. Imam Shafi'i says you have to say salah on the Prophet for the prayer to be valid. And what's very interesting, he even says you have to do it in the first tashahhud. You know how we usually say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and then we go up after the first tashahhud. Imam Shafi'i, he says you have to say Salah on the Prophet even in the first tashahhud. But you don't have to say it on Ibrahim or on the family. So you say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, and that's enough. You can go up. But in the second tashahhud, Imam Shafi'i, he says you have to say Salah on the Prophet and on Ibrahim alayhi salam, and then you can finish your prayer, but and then make dua and then finish your prayer. One last point, very interesting point. I'm sure Brother Salah is. I want to see Brother Salah has an answer to this. Very interesting point. when we say all of us send peace upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and on the family of Muhammad, just like you sent peace upon Ibrahim, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, doesn't this imply in some way that Ibrahim is more virtuous than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because when you say send peace upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like you sent peace upon Ibrahim, as if Ibrahim was more deserving or has more of that salat, and then you're taking from that and giving it to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is something in Arabic language, I don't know if it'll come across in translation. But for example, if they say, Ibrahim is like a lion in bravery. So who has more bravery, Ibrahim or the lion? The lion is the example of bravery. And we're saying Ibrahim is like the lion. Maybe not, he is brave, but maybe not as much as the lion. So they say that the thing that you're comparing to has more of the good quality than the one that is being compared to. The one that you are saying is like. So when you say send peace upon Prophet Muhammad and the family of Prophet Muhammad, like you sent upon Ibrahim and the family of Ibrahim, as if it implies that the salah on the Prophet is a little bit less than what Ibrahim got. Because you're asking him to copy it or to take that salah and give it to the Prophet. So is this true? Is it true that Ibrahim is more virtuous or has more deserving of salah and salam than Prophet Muhammad? Is this true? Some brothers are nodding yes. Who is greater in status, Prophet Muhammad or Ibrahim alayhi salam? No doubt Prophet Muhammad. He's the final messenger, say the leader of the prophets. He led them in prayer. So many proofs that he was he led them all in salah. He's the final messenger. So no doubt he's more virtuous. So then how can we understand this part of the dua that we make? Does somebody have an answer? Okay, I'll let you think about it, inshallah. I'll give you the answer. I'll make it easy for you. What some of the ulama said, Allahu a'lam, Allah knows best, but what some of the ulama said, when you say, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim, as you send prayers on Ibrahim, wa ala ali Ibrahim, and on the family of Ibrahim. Ibrahim, he was the father of the prophets, right? Who was his children? Ismail and Ishaq and Yaqub. And Ismail, who was from the progeny of Ismail? Prophet Muhammad himself. Prophet Muhammad is included in the family of Ibrahim. So when you say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, Prophet Muhammad is included with the family of Ibrahim. So it's like you're taking a big group and you're singling out the Prophet. But Prophet Muhammad is in the second group too. So of course the second group is more virtuous because it has Ibrahim and Ismail and Ishaq and Yaqub and the Prophet, right? So what he's saying, like the prayers you send upon all these people, send it on Muhammad. But Muhammad is in the second group too. So he's not less virtuous than Ibrahim because all those prophets included Prophet Muhammad with them. As you send all those prayers on all those prophets, including Prophet Muhammad, send more of it upon Prophet Muhammad. So he is the most virtuous. He is the most virtuous of all the prophets, inshallah. And this issue here about the this is one of the things we'd like to kind of explain because of what we read today, is the issue of the mawlid. You've heard a lot about just the issue of people celebrating the birthday of Prophet Muhammad. They say that this is out of love for him, and we celebrate birthdays of other great people. And actually here with the ulama, they say that true love for the Prophet is following his sunnah. It's not by doing outward shows of acts of praise. Because there's a few points the scholars have mentioned. Number one, the problem with the mawlid is that if it was good, why didn't the Sahaba do it? So to think that when we create something, as if we're thinking we're better than the Sahaba, we know better than them. And the people, the Sahaba, they love Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, no doubt, more than anybody else afterward. So, do we know more than them? Do we have more love? Did something change from the time of the Sahaba? There was the need to show the love for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It wasn't any different than afterwards. So here, that's number one, where the ulama, they say that by doing this mawlid, by celebrating the birthday of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as if we're saying we are more virtuous than that early generation, the best of generations, the first three generations. And number two, the ulama, they say that celebrating birthdays of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is concerning ourselves with outward things and leaving the inward. You know, we celebrate a birthday, but just like Christmas, doesn't everybody say Christmas is, you know, we celebrate Jesus' birthday. They have trees, they have decorations, they have, you know, all this activity that happens. But are they really following Isa? So they completely left the message of Isa Islam while showing an outward show of love and virtue of Isa Islam. So here there's a concern that people have these gatherings, the mawalid, they're celebrating as if they're celebrating the Prophet and reciting his story, but yet they might not be obeying him. They're going against his sunnah in many ways. And somebody could go to a mawlid party, yet he doesn't pray, his wudu is not correct, he doesn't know his aqidah, and he's doing something the Prophet he never taught his ummah to do. So there's a concern about that, doing these outward shows of obedience and leaving the inward. And the last thing our scholars teach is that we celebrate the Prophet's life every moment of every hour of every day by following his sunnah and just like we mentioned in the salah. When we send peace and prayer on the Prophet, as if we're Salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, we revive that iman in the Prophet. Every moment of every hour of every day, we celebrate the blessing of the Prophet coming to mankind through his sunnah, through his teaching. Not through just his person, not just by celebrating the birthday of him as a person, but by following the message that he brought. And this week, show our love for our Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah give us an understanding and tawfiq, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anybody have any questions, inshallah? Yes, brother.
I feel like a lot of people
like
to celebrate
Eid,
but they don't have
enough
money to
Yes. That's right. One of the concerns that the ulama have is that in the long run, you don't want to end up in the way that the Yahud and Nasara did, where they had these festivals, but they leave the message, the core message. So that's true. That is one of the reasons why the ulama advises against it now. And it's not just now. Maybe now people, they celebrate, they get together and read the stories of the Prophet, but 100 or 1,000 years from now, things lead, one leads to another. And one of the things that they mention is that when the Prophet used to fast on Monday, because this is the day that he was born, he mentioned it. Nowadays they cook special meals and delicious desserts. It's the opposite. Right? When he did an act of worship, nowadays there's festivities, there's decorations, I've seen it, and we see it in many places, decorations, dancing, and things like this, that are completely contradictory to the spirit of the sunnah. So this is a concern that over time, things will go astray, they will go astray. So that is a concern about it, inshallah.
One more question for you.
Yes, go.
In the prayer, you cannot ask, I hear about that sometimes some ulama, or I don't know, very many, I cannot refer anybody. But in the sejda, someone said, in the sejda, this is the best time to ask anything.
Yes.
So, that book to me is like, you said, no, in the prayer, you cannot ask anything, it's not.
No, I didn't say that. Maybe, the question here is about the sejda. When you make sejda, can you ask? Of course, the Prophet said to them, he said, the closest a slave is to Allah is in his sajda. So make effort and call and ask him from Allah. Fajtahid. make a lot of effort to call on Allah and ask for your need in your sajda. This is the closest we become to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. So yes, in your sajda, you can make any dua that you feel in your heart. But again, what I mentioned is that it shouldn't be something haram. We only ask for what Allah has made permissible for us, inshallah. Yes, any other questions, inshallah? Yes, go ahead. From the right of his book.
Yeah, that is Allah to ask for anything in sujood. What did you refer to when you were sitting and doing the tahiyyat? And before he came to the hospital saying salam, he started asking for help.
Yes.
So what I mean is this contradiction to the one another?
Okay. The time for dua, there's many places in the prayer we can make dua, not just one place. We can make dua before we even read the Fatiha. You know, when the Prophet said, Allahu Akbar, and he used to be quiet for a long time. Sahaba, they said, Ya Rasulullah, what were you doing? You were quiet before you read the Fatiha. He said, I was making dua. And subhanAllah wa bihamdika tabarak ismu. Or there's other du'as. All I put between me and my sins, like you put between the east and the west. There's a time for du'a. In the ruku'ah, there's a time for du'a you can make when you're bowing. He used to say, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Rabbi al-Fili. So you can make du'a there. When you come up from the ruku'ah, we covered it in an earlier class. There's a long du'a. There's many du'as you can say when you come up from the bowing. And when you go down in sajda, you say the Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, and then you can make du'as in your sajda. Sitting in between the two sajda, that's a time for du'a as well. When we say, رَبِّ اغْفِرْلِي وَارْحَمْنِي وَعَافِنِي وَاحْفِنِي وَارْزُقْنِي, Allah forgive me and have mercy on me, in between the two sajdas. And then after the tashahhud is finished, before you say salam, we're going to cover inshallah next time, bi'idhni Allah, there's a du'a that the Prophet used to say, Allah save me from the hellfire, save me from the fitna of the grave, save me from the tribulations of life and death, save me from the fitna of the one-eyed liar. He used to ask it in every prayer. So here, there's so many praises in the prayer that we can make dua, inshallah. But what the Prophet was telling that person, he hastened, he was saying he didn't praise Allah first and send peace on Prophet Muhammad. He said it would have been better. He didn't say that go and repeat your prayer, but he said it would have been better if he had said Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad and given that peace on the Prophet and then asked for whatever he wanted. So here many of us say that the Salah Ibrahim and the Prophet Muhammad Ibrahim is a nafla sunnah, it's good to do it. But if somebody made the dua without saying that, then some of the ulama say, no problem, inshallah. You don't have to say that. Inshallah. Does that clarify your question? Yes. Brother over here? Yes. Yes. Marakallahu feek. Thank you.
I'm sure. I want to be sure when I make a dua, we have to say, like, tahiyyat, like, tahiyyat lillah,
any praise of Allah. Outside of Salah. Outside of Salah, it's virtuous, it's good to praise Allah and send peace on the Prophet and then ask for your need. This is, you don't have to use those words. You can use any words of praise. You can say, Allahumma laka alhamd. O Allah, to you is praise. Allahumma laka shukr. O Allah, and you can call on Him by His name. Ya Razaq, Urzuqni. See, when you're asking for something, then call on Allah using that name that you need from Allah. So you say, O Razaq, O Rizuqni, O the one who gives the risk, the wealth, give me. If you're asking for forgiveness, O the forgiving one, Ya Ghaffar, forgive me. But don't use a name that is the opposite of what you need. Ya Muntaqim, Filthirni, O the one who takes revenge, forgive me. Use the name that you're seeking, the thing that you're seeking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So praising Allah could be in many ways. It could be using the hamd, the shukr. It could be showing, because we want to show our poverty and need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's really what Allah, when He looks in the heart of a servant, if when He praises Allah, He's showing His need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when Allah sees that from us, if He's too generous, some hadiths say that Allah is too generous if a servant raises his hand in dua to send them back empty-handed. So if we praise Allah, we're putting ourselves in a station as a person in need, and asking from one who can give. So it's showing two things. It's showing our ubudiyah and the wahdaniyah of Allah, that we know our place and we know that Allah is the only one who can give it to us. Oh Allah, we're not turning to the creation. We're not turning to a human being or an angel or an idol. We're turning to you, oh Allah. And we are in need of you. I'm not powerful. I cannot create. I cannot provide my own risk. I need you to give it to me. So when Allah sees this, then when we praise Allah, it's showing, it's reminding us of that. And this is what we read in the Fatiha. So we praise Allah, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And then we show our ubudiyyah to Allah, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. You alone we worship, and from you alone we seek help. And then we ask, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. Guide us. Right? So we praise Allah, we tell Him that we only worship Him and no one else. We remind ourselves of that actually. And then we ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. JazakAllah khair. JazakAllah khair. Answer your question, inshaAllah. Any other question? SubhanAllah wa bihamdih. AstaghfirAllah wa atubu ilayk. SubhanAllah rabbina rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salaamu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. Question after that last question. Go ahead.
It's
a good question. Making dua, it's actually better to make the dua before the salam. You see, a lot of people, they say salam alaikum, salam alaikum, right away they start from dua. Actually, the best time, when is it better to make dua? When you're in salah, you're connected to Allah, you're speaking to Allah, or after the salam, when you've broken your connection with Allah? Before, right? So when you finish your Salat Ibrahim, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Salat Ibrahim, then you start making any du'as that you want. And then when you finish, you do the du'as, you say, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi. So it's actually better to do it before the Salat.
Yes.
Making du'a in English is allowed, even Tamim said it's allowed for the one who doesn't know Arabic, who can't say even Arabic. But if you're from Iraq and you speak Arabic, then you shouldn't really... shouldn't have that excuse to say it in English, inshallah. Unless, and especially, saying it out of just turning away from Arabic languages. It's encouraged to learn Arabic, actually. And the scholar said we should try to learn as much Arabic as we can. But of course, we cannot learn, it may not be easy for everybody to learn Arabic language. So in the sajda, you can make a lot of English or in your language, Vietnamese, Italian. Ibn Taymiyyah said that's okay, inshallah. جزاك الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك